I want to give some time to our next speaker, Mr. Craig Waldron.
My experience started, about 6 months before I actually had the experience, this is what happened. I had got to a point in my life where I thought, okay, I need to really do something drastically different so that I could feel better. So I went through this entire big workup, had all kinds of blood tests, etc. They put me on an eating program, exercise program. And so for 6 months, I did that religiously. Then on November 27th of 2001, there was a big snowstorm, and I was out there with a snowblower blowing snow. And I just remember how cold I got that night. And I went to bed, and about midnight, I woke up, and my shoulder was just aching like crazy. I thought, oh, I kind of threw it out, I guess, when I was moving the snowblower around. So I thought, I'll take a couple aspirin and go back to bed. No big deal. Over the next hour or so, instead of, relieving the pain or anything, it just started getting worse and worse. And by about 2 o'clock in the morning, I decided something was wrong. So I went in and woke up my wife and said, hey, I think you need to take me to the hospital. Now, this is real logic if you're having a heart attack, that you, have somebody drive you to the hospital instead of calling 911. And neither one of us were even thinking that way. It was like, okay, yeah, I have a sore throat or something, let's, take me in there. The feeling of not being able to do anything about what I was experiencing as far as the pain and the symptoms and everything else, I can't even describe the feeling other than one of complete surrender, like, okay, I can't do anything about this, and I'm just... So basically, on the way to the emergency room, I think we did a lot of crying. We got to the emergency room. Our mind, when we're going through this, we think how we normally function. I just had my wife drop me off at the entrance there, and I was going to just walk on in. Which I did with a lot of effort. And I got in there, and they got me all checked in. And by that time, I was really having trouble breathing. And I think the kind of anxiety had taken over that part, thinking, okay, this can't be happening to me because I'm too young for this to happen. They finally get me checked in there. They're taking all kinds of blood. By the way, at that point, needles and me just do not get along. When you're in the ER, that's what they specialize in. The more, the better. So the last thing that I remember, they had me on a bed. They hooked me up to the monitors. They were starting an IV. And the last thing I heard was, just relax. Apparently after that, there was a lot said, but I have no recollection of that at all. Apparently at that point, then I flatlined in the ER. The next thing that I remember was, and let me just back up for a minute, my experience was one more of remembering my experience after the fact. The next thing I remember is I heard people yelling my name. Right over the top of me was the doctor and the nurse. They looked pretty freaked out. For me, I was like, I knew I had been gone and I was coming back from somewhere, but I couldn't. It was just weird. And I have passed out before, so in my mind, thinking, oh, I just passed out. But every time when I've fainted in the past, usually when I faint, I have these vivid dreams. I had nothing, no dreams whatsoever. When I came to and was conscious enough as they were talking, they had injected some atropine, I guess, to get me restarted, which apparently worked because I'm back. But so at the same time, okay, I've just had this experience, and they want to give me some orange juice or apple juice because, I've really burned a lot of sugar, etc., so they want to replenish that. And in my mind, I'm on my exercise program, I'm on a low glycemic diet, I say, no, I can't have that. So I finally did have some apple juice, but one of the things that kind of happened from that point on is like the mind is just going nuts on trying to... You're making your decisions based on how you've done life up to that point, and that doesn't work in the the new experience you're in. One of the things that I remember, and I credit the nurse that was in the ER that night with really saving my life, because the doctor was totally freaking out, giving me nitroglycerin, this, that, and the other thing. The nurse, as soon as the doctor turned, says, I'm not going to do that right now. We need to get things stabilized here. And he was awesome. That was quite the experience there. That entire day was spent, I think they tried to figure out every way to get blood out of me possible, and I had sticks on my arms and hands. At the end of the day, they were still trying to get more blood, and they couldn't do it. And they finally said, well, if they want any more blood, the doctor's going to have to come do it, and we know they won't do it. So, wish they didn't. So the most frightening thing of that whole experience for me was not the dying, not any of that, but not knowing what they were going to do medically. That night, I slept real well. I woke up the next morning. Actually, I felt pretty good. The doctor came in. He says, well, how are you doing? I said, I feel pretty good. And he looked at me totally disgusted. Well, we haven't even done anything for you. They immediately started me over the next few days on an exercise program. So I had to basically go into the facility every day. Of course, here comes the needle thing again. So I've just finished this workout up there, and they give me this note, you need to come to the lab, we need more blood. I said, I don't think I've got any more. So I went into the lab, and at that point, I did pass out. They readmitted me because I had an abnormal EKG, but when you pass out, you will have an abnormal EKG. Ran me through a bunch more tests, angiogram. They determined that there was no medical reason for me to have had that experience. Over a period of time, saying, okay, there was a reason that this happened. So I got to just, figure out, find out what that was. A couple of instances of this flashback that I mentioned earlier, we had gone to the symphony, and I don't even remember what piece they were playing, but all of a sudden, when that music started, it made me flash back to the music that I heard when I was there. I'll just say there, when I was gone from this planet. And best way I could describe it was just kind of an all-encompassing, never-ending love flow. And I just started crying there. And I cried more in my year or so after that event than I think I ever have in my life. That was very uncommon to me. Another experience that I have had since then and continue to have a lot, and that is I'll be doing something with someone or being a certain experience, and all of a sudden I'll remember. Now, this is going to sound maybe a little weird, but this is just what I experienced, my perception of. I'll remember being with these same people doing this there. The relationship was, and the love was just tremendous. It was like I had been there with these people in I'll say, another dimension. That's the only way I know how to describe it. Another thing I did, and I suggest that you do it a little differently than I did, and that is I expressed that I was, after having that experience, I looked at everything in my life, reevaluating, what kind of things I had going on, my relationships, business, you name it, and what I wanted to do. Expressed that to my wife without telling her that what I really should have said to her was, I'm doing this, but I really, really deeply love you, and I really want you in my life still. But I didn't say that. So, of course, she goes right to, oh, my gosh, does this mean this is over, kind of stuff? Quite the opposite for me. The other thing that I noticed that was easier for me to do was to tell people how I felt and tell them about this and not worry about what they were going to think or say, because I really didn't care, because this was true to me. In fact, this is kind of funny. At least it was to me. On the IAMS website, they have a place where you can share your near-death experience and they'll, post it or whatever for their research. They told me that I didn't qualify. So, it was mainly because I didn't have an immediate visual thing and to relate while I was on the other side, basically. The other thing that I learned was the near-death experience is not so much for scientists to prove or disprove or other people to say, yes, it was real or not. It's for the individual that's having it to have whatever experience they're going to have and learn what they're going to learn. And if somebody else, in sharing this with other people, if they can, have an experience or learn something from it, then great, that's great also. And I was talking about how a brain would, think, okay, yeah, I can do whatever it was. And so people would call up and I'd set an appointment to do something. It came time to do it. I'd have to call them up and say, I can't do it. Because in my mind, I thought when I made it, oh, yeah, that's no problem. For instance, one of the things I needed to do when I got out was to be sure and exercise. So I thought, okay, good. I used to walk maybe a mile or two. So I thought, I'll just walk around the little block here. That's probably less than a quarter mile. That should be no problem. I got down to the end of our street. It was about 200 feet. I didn't know if I could make it back to the house, which after that, I always took my cell phone with me for right back if I needed it all. I've talked to other people since, and it's kind of like, until we get used to the fact that we're different, but we're in denial, or we're not used to the fact that, hey, we don't operate in this quite the same as we used to.
So even though the doctors told you there was no medical reason for you to have this, you did have consequences.
Uh-huh. Because the heart is stopping and actually going through the physical part of it, my recovery was actually probably more difficult than someone that actually would have angioplasty done or a stent put in, because before they had an impairment before, and so that would open it up and make the flow better, where I didn't have that before. You know, there was a major stress put on the body by doing that, which, of course, I was in denial about. It's hard to describe, I guess, unless you've experienced it. In my mind, before this happened, I always thought, oh, people that have these experiences and have all this great stuff happen, their life is so much easier and so much better afterwards. But, you know, this would be a great thing. I would say how it's changed my life is it's made some things easier and some things harder. The easier things maybe are loving other people, being less judgmental. Maybe the harder thing is knowing what it's like on the other side and what it's like here, being motivated to stay here kind of thing. Not that I have control over, you know, going back right now, at least I'm not aware of a way. The purpose of me having this experience, for me, it's showed me some ways where I've learned things that I would have learned no other way. Although I wouldn't, tell you to have a near-death experience to learn new things. That's not the recommended learning process, I don't think. One of the big things it did was it removed any fear of dying. And I talked a little earlier about, you know, sharing my experience with other people, and hopefully it helps them to feel more at peace about dying, living, or there's something in it that helps their life be better. The other thing it helped me learn was there's actually a reason to have the physical life, to have these experiences, because we learn things about life in this physical realm where we couldn't do it any other way. Here's the six things that I learned. Actually, there's seven. The first one that I just put in there was call 911 first. Don't drive your car. When I came back, the first thing that I remember about the experience was that we are always loved, no matter what. That God doesn't care what we do as a condition of how much we're loved. Or just always loved. The second, I've already kind of alluded to this, there's no reason to fear death. It's merely a wonderful transition to a better place and part of my life. Third, this one surprised me in some ways and not in others, was that other people really do care about other people. And life is not so much about the things that we accumulate, it's more about sharing the love and experiences we have when we do share love. Not that I'm not told the truth before, but it was impressed very deeply on me that tell the truth no matter what. It's always easier, even though we think sometimes it's not. The sixth is no matter how bad we feel life here is on the planet, all the experiences we have are very important and necessary to get us to the next part of life. And one of the tools that I use to do that is when I'm experiencing something that I really don't like and I'd really rather not be doing, then I just ask the question, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Because I want this to be old. And usually that works once I get that. We're always loved no matter what. There's no reason to fear death. Other people care and love me. Life is about how we share love. Always tell the truth. All life's experiences are important. There's been a lot of things that have happened since then. Kind of hard to keep track of all of them. But one of the things that I was reminded of when she was talking, the fact that when then back, things pop into my mind, you know, I'll just automatically know something. If there's an important experience, I'll just know, hey, this is what I got to do or say. And if I don't follow that, about 100% of the time I should have. What I've learned is as I follow that, I get more and more of that, and it just comes clearer and easier and faster. Sometimes it can be scary, but it doesn't need to be. It's just because we, you know, in my mind, I thought, you know, it's hard to do that. For me, it was more a memory of the experience that I had there and the feelings about it and the knowingness of just no doubt in my mind about what I experienced.
Like, what did you remember?
The love. Probably more than anything, just the amount of love is just indescribable.
When you heard this music at the concert, it reminded you of your experience. Was it the same music? Did it just remind you?
It just reminded me.
You could say it changed your life, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's science's main criteria, whether or not you had one or not.
Yeah, it gave me a bit of an attitude adjustment. And I still, you know, revert sometimes to a bad attitude, but I don't think I get as focused on things having to be the right way. It's some things just aren't important. Any other questions?
Can you have flashbacks of memories, or can that stop after a while?
Probably less, but it seems like I have more here and the now experiences to experience that, you know, that same kind of feel. So I guess it's kind of learn how to experience heaven on earth kind of thing.
And what is the most important you'd like to pass on to those who haven't experienced that?
Don't sign up for one. And the main thing that I learned was, over everything else, was how we share love is really what it's all about. And that we're loved no matter what. There's no condition placed on that.
Immediately after the experience, did you have an accurate and in-depth recall of what occurred, or did it just unfold?
It just kind of unfolded over time. For this whole thing, this is my experience of what I did. If you were to go, you know, if you were to die, you might have a totally different experience.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate that.